of faith, to trust you more, to love you more. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, team. Well, in one of the songs that they sang, they asked the question, do you believe you'll see God do it again? Evidently, you don't. It's okay. When you ask that question, do you believe you'll see God do it again, you either need an amen or an oh me, and I got the oh me.
Amen.
Some of you will wake up eventually. It'll be all right. I look at the world in which we live, and I am often amazed at where we have come to and where we've come from. It may seem for a moment that I'm going to be negative today, but I'm not. I promise to get to a positive place. But America, families, and even the church has failed. We've fallen. We're in trouble. We've sinned, and we brought those things into our world that God said was not right. And it's terrible to say it this way, but we have basically accepted those things that for a long, long time God said was unacceptable. And what it's done, it's divided us. I think about the Pledge of Allegiance, and that pledge says one nation under God, united. And I really wonder if we are still united. I wonder if homes are united. I wonder if families are united. This past week, I talked to two different families. And so often, I'm amazed at the things that I hear with families. And one person said that he had not spoken to his dad in over 20 years. Sad, divided. Somebody said they had not seen their mother in over 10 years. Sad. And yet we wonder what's happened to our land. We wonder what really caused us to come to the place that we were divided. You may not think that we are divided, but basically, looking at the things that are going on in our society, the things that our world accepts and the things that God does not accept really causes a point of division. But what we have to understand is that somewhere along the line, we can come back together and there is power in unity. There is power in the unity of God's people to overcome the difficulties that are in our world. If you would stand with me, we're going to read two passages of Scripture. Then we'll ask God to just bless His Word. In Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter, verses 11 and 12, it says this, "Again, if two lie together, they have heat. How can one warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Then from Mark, the words of Jesus, "And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." Father, I come before you this morning. I ask God that you open our minds to your word, not what I would say, but to what your word gives to us. And Father, help us to seek the unity in our land that is needed, that we might be healed and become the people that you desire that we would be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you think about all these things, and I looked at some passages, and what's happened to us is, y'all, we've allowed evil to slip into our world. Now, some of you can say, well, evil was here from the time Satan got here. But there have been times that we, as the body of Christ, we as folks who trust the Lord, and we as folks who believe that we'll see God do it again, we've remained silent. And we've lost the grip that God once allowed us to have in the world. We have allowed evil to slip in so many different ways. And we've let it come in at such an easy pace that we didn't notice it. We probably were this way in the very beginning. We thought, well, you know, that's not going to hurt for a little while. We also thought, you know, fads come and go. But sometimes fads come, fads go, some of them stay. Evil has come. And for some strange reason, we've allowed it to just stay there. There's a story in the book of Joshua, and it's in the 7th chapter. I'm going to read part of the passage, but God had brought the Israelite nation out of the bondage that they were in down in Egypt. They had roamed around for 40 years because they simply became disobedient to God and did not do what God said to do. But they had finally reached a place that they were on the side of the Jordan River, and they were going to cross the river, and they were going to attack a city known as Jericho. God told them how to do it, explained to them how it should work, and how things would take place. They did exactly what God said, except God told them that you cannot take any spoil from Jericho. Don't bring back with you anything that is there. Leave it alone. Destroy all of it. Okay. So everybody agreed. We're not going to take anything back. Well, as time goes along, they're going to take on another town. It's called Ai. Ai. Small. They sent out some spies to look at the town. And the spies came back and they said, hey, listen, it's a piece of cake. We can go in and we can wipe it out just like that. Don't have to send everybody. Well, as you read in Joshua, the story, they went over there and they came back with their tails between their legs because they took one more whooping. The Israelites did not defeat Ai. They were brought down. They ran back and they're wondering, what in the world happened to us? How did this happen to us? Because God was with us. God helped us overcome Jericho. The walls came tumbling down. And we go over to this little old town and nothing happens. You know why? They weren't united. They had let sin slip into the camp. Now, some of them's going to sit back and say, well, we didn't know about it. You know, you have to be careful because according to the scriptures, your sin will find you out. You think about this. Now, here's what it says in this story, and this is how Joshua had to handle the problem that came. They got defeated. He knew there was a problem. So in the book of Joshua, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 11, it says this. Joshua said, Israel hath sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. You know what he said? He said, you've taken those things that I told you to leave alone, and you brought it in among your own stuff. It's there with you. Well, here's what he said. He said, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemy, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemy until you take away the accursed thing from among you. When we allow sin to come into the camp, when we allow sin to be those things that bring defeat, when we allow those things to be a part of it, God's not going to bless. And I've heard people say this, why isn't God blessing America today? Why isn't God blessing the church today? Why isn't God blessing our families today? My friend, there is the answer. We've allowed sin to come into the camp. What we've done, we've become tolerant of all these things that God said we shouldn't do. Now, if you think I'm up on a soapbox just hollering today, I don't want you to get that idea, but the problem with America, the problem with the church, the problem with our individual lives is we have allowed sin to get in there. We have become lax in all things. You know, some folks have said, well, it won't hurt this time. Be sure your sin will find you out. I was telling Slayton a little story about me a while ago. Back when, several years ago, just before Lauren was born, I had a habit that a lot of people have gotten able to get over with, but I had a habit of smoking. I did. And Lauren was going to be born, and Miss Brenda over there said, you will not smoke in this house. Okay, I'll quit. She thought I did. Anyway, bless her heart, she thought that we might need some extra insurance. So she got an insurance application, filled it out. Asked me, are you smoking? Well, at that particular time, I wasn't. But every once in a while, I'd slip around with a friend of mine and have a cup of coffee and a cigarette. Well, lo and behold, that insurance company came the very day that I'd had that cigarette. Test went in, test came back. I got a call from her. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, ain't nothing wrong with me. She said, yes, there is. I said, no, there's not. I'm fine. She said, the insurance company says there's something wrong with you and they've rated you up. What is wrong with you? I said, nothing. Just don't worry about it. I thought she'd leave it alone. She didn't. She called the company. And you know what they told her? He had nicotine in his system. There was sin in the camp. And I got caught. And here's our problem in the world today. There's sin in the camp, and we've got caught. And God's not blessing. God's not going to bless as long as we allow things to be tolerant and us tolerate those things that God says is an abomination to Him. We've elected leaders who have forgotten who God is and who have absolutely no care for God. I'm not talking about elections right now either. I'm talking about where our world is. We will never be blessed by God until we become united with God and we begin to serve God the way God has called us to serve Him. God said for us to forsake those things that are evil, to cling to those things that are right. But we have forgotten what God said. We must stand against the evil that's in the world if we're going to see God bless us. Notice what God told Joshua. He said, thou cannot stand before your enemies until you take the accursed thing from you. God is calling His people to come before Him and repent and turn from their wicked ways. Isn't that what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and then will I heal their land. There is power in unity, but until we come united in the things that God has for us, as long as we allow sin to remain in the camp, God cannot bless. Now you notice what he says, that when two, and this is from Matthew, the 18th chapter, 19th verse, the Word of God says that when two or more believers come together and begin to pray, then we have a spiritual force. Now what's happening in our land today is, y'all, we've not united in calling upon God. We've not united in the things that we ask God to do. One group wants this done, somebody else wants that done, somebody else wants something else done. We've got to come to that place that we are calling upon God. Notice how this verse says this, and again, or again, so Jesus said this before, but these are the words of Jesus. He says, again I say to you, if two or three shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, the problem is, we're not getting together on the same thing. Y'all, God bless us. God bless our nation. Two or three of us get together and we'll pray, God bless our nation. But you know what happened? We've not gotten together and say, God, before you can bless us, cleanse us. Was it not David who said of himself, cleanse me, O God. Take from me that wickedness that's in me. So I said, David was a man after God's own heart. He was, but he messed up just like we do. And he said, God, cleanse me. And it was not until God could cleanse him that God began to bless David's life. Yes, we'll come together sometimes, and I'll pray for what I want, and you'll pray for what you want. But when do we come together as a collective body and say, God, forgive us of our sins. God, cleanse us and make us what you want us to be, not what we want us to be. Well, Satan cannot destroy the church from outside. You ever think about that? Satan can't destroy the church from outside. The church in our society today, y'all, has become weak. If you look around, we got more wood than we got people. So I'm not just picking on here. That's the way it is in most churches today. We got more wood than we got people. So what I'm saying is simply this, that Satan is not destroying the church. He's not destroying our world from outside. He's not destroying America from outside. He's doing it from within. And we've allowed those things to happen. God's people, if you'll think about this, are stronger than Satan and all his angels. Remember when Satan was cast out of heaven, there were a certain number of angels that went with him, and God cast them down to the earth. So we do have Satan among us today. We have those demons of his that are among us today, and they're doing all they can to destroy, but they can't destroy from the outside. They destroy from the inside. And that's where our problem lies. We've allowed sin to come into this camp. Now, when I mention this to you, that there's power in unity, then we've got to come back and begin to say, all right, then what's it going to take for us to become that powerful force that God intended for us to be? Now, you'll remember, go back and look in the book of Acts, that the church was a powerful force in the book of Acts. Yes, the church had even problems back then, but yet they came together and they overcame the difficulties that they faced. And that's where we're headed for today, is that the church must come together and overcome the difficulties that are in the world. Now, how are we going to do this? Because Satan's real. Satan's getting inside. And Satan comes in and tears up. Well, how does he do that? Well, let's ask a couple of questions here. First, I want you to remember this. In the power of unity, the first thing we need to remember is that we have a stronger word than what Satan has. We've all probably got one or two or three or four of these at our homes. Y'all know that? If you got a cell phone, you got the app on it, you can have the Bible on your cell phone. You can have it on your iPad. You can have it anywhere you want. But the problem is, it's not this. The problem is that this is not getting in here where it works. And God's word is stronger than anything Satan can bring along. Satan's going to tell us, well, y'all are doing a pretty good job. Things are looking pretty good. There's no real problem. Well, let's look at what the Bible says about the Word of God. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and 12th verse says this, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Y'all, the word of God gets us here. Now, Satan comes in, and Satan's going to try and work our minds. Satan's going to try and make us doubt the word of God. Satan's going to try and tell us that God can't do what he did. Then I'm going to have to come back and ask you what it is as we begin. Do you believe that God can do it again? We have to believe, yes, he can, because his word is true. His word is sharp. His word is powerful. And it's sharper than any word or anything that Satan can give. Another thing about this is that we have a spirit that is stronger than Satan's spirit. Years ago, some of you will remember this. I guess this was back probably in the 70s. There was a television show called Laugh-In. Any of y'all remember Laugh-In? Any of you remember Flip Wilson? Yeah. His famous line was, what? "The devil made me do it." Some of y'all remember that. That's great. Well, Satan has a strong spirit. And Satan sometimes makes us do things because he'll tempt us just a little bit. He'll tell you, you won't get caught. It's not going to hurt this time. Everybody else is doing it. I just loved it when the kids would come in and tell me, everybody at school is doing this. And I wanted to know, well, who are all of them? Well, it's everybody. See, Satan will tell you, everybody's doing it. Everybody's agreeing. Everybody's coming along. We're just kind of going with the flow. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God, that is a greater spirit than Satan's, lets us know that he is powerful, that he can do greater things. I like what it said. You'll find this in the book of 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse. And this is, gives us the assurance of knowing that the spirit that is within us is greater than the spirit that's within the world. Because as John was inspired to write these words, he said, "You are of God, little children. You have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than what? He that is in the world." Who is that that's the prince of the world? It's Satan. But who is greater than the prince of the world? It's Almighty God. So we have a greater spirit. We can be united under that greater spirit. We can be a powerful force when we allow God's spirit to lead us. We have more help on our side than what Satan's got on his side. Somebody said, "Then wait a minute. We're in the minority as believers." Yeah, but always remember this, y'all. God plus you equals a majority. Now think about that. "No, really, I can't do anything." Well, think about this, and I saw this commercial the other day. A forest fire in California was started because of one little match. You may be the one little match that starts a fire burning for God. See, we have more help on our side than Satan has on his side. Satan was cast out of heaven. He was cast out of heaven by the God who made heaven. And when we understand this, that we have more on our side than Satan has on his side, we can become a moving force because there is power in unity. A divided house cannot stand. The house is divided in the world today. We've got those who are saying, it's not going to hurt. We've got those who are saying, well, it'll be all right this time. My friends, we've got to come to the place that we trust the Word of God. A couple of things I want you to think about this. How does Satan try and divide our house? How does Satan try and divide our lives? And that's what he does. He tries to divide our lives to keep us from being around God. So we've got to come back and be united with him. Well, Satan uses the power, and he is the sword of discord. Do you know if you can ever get two people to a little bit aggravated with each other? Boy, you can have a time, can't you? There's certain things I can probably say to her that really rings her bell. Daily. That was an amen if y'all missed that. But here's the thing about it, y'all. Satan will sow discord any place he can. Somebody's going to say, well, how does he do that? He begins to work on us. Well, I don't like that, but I do like that. Somebody says, well, I don't like that, but I like the other. See, that's where discord comes, because we have been conditioned, if you will, by Satan, that he can separate us from other folks. Well, I don't like them because of what they believe, and I don't like them because of what they do. That, my friend, is discord. The sower of discord, Satan, he always makes it look good, but it's deadly. I'd never really thought about that. But you know, Satan can make some things look so good, and we'll fall into the trap that Satan has set. And it looks good. We don't think it's going to hurt. But then all of a sudden, the whole world crashes in on us. Because what looked good was deceptive. Satan uses deception. Satan uses discord. Satan also does some other things. Satan uses lies to get us going. Somebody says, well, now, how does Satan use lies to get us going? Satan will tell you that you're okay when you're not. Satan will tell us that we're able to do certain things when we shouldn't, because Satan does his very best to sow discord, to turn people against one another. And y'all, that's what's happening in America today. We're turning one toward the other, turning against one another, and Satan's having a heyday. Folks, stay away from church because Satan sows discord. Satan uses that discord to keep us from coming together as a united force to go against the evil that's in our land. There is power in unity. When we as God's people begin to come together and seek God and seek His face and believe that He can do what He says He'll do, we'll see things change. When God's people begin to fill the altars of churches with praying people who are calling upon God and saying, God, if it's me, take the sin from me. Take the sin out of my camp, and God, make me what you want me to be. We'll begin to see God do great things. But as long as we keep sin in our camp, as long as we say, oh, I haven't done anything that bad, or it's okay, I've asked God to forgive me of it, but I'm still doing it, we still got a problem. So what are we going to do? How are we going to be united as a powerful force in the world today? Well, I believe, as I said, the first place we're going to start, y'all, is praying. We need to be a praying church. We need to be a praying nation, praying people. Somebody says, well, I pray every night. Yeah, until you go to sleep. Maybe I was tacky then. But hey, I've done the same thing. I've tried to pray at night, and I'll say, Lord, thank you for today. Sometimes, y'all, we got to get out of our comfortable beds and get down on our knees and cry out to God and say, God, forgive our land. God, forgive me. And pray a prayer of repentance. Because when we pray a prayer of repentance, remember this, God is ready to forgive. Next thing you must do is believe the Word of God. Y'all, the Word of God is not just some book that was written. Heard a guy the other day say, well, everything's in the Old Testament is just historical stuff. It's not relevant. My friend, the Word of God is relevant from the first verse of the first chapter of Genesis to the last verse of the last chapter of Revelation. Don't take it for granted. It is the Word of God. It is inspired in every word that is there for us, that we might come together united with God, united with one another, that we can overcome this world. So we're going to pray. We're going to believe the Word of God. We're going to be willing to get rid of the sin in our life. Did I mention to you a while ago that when we pray, we need to pray, cleanse me, oh God, take from me that sin that's in my life. I was reading the other day about some folks, and they could be aware of the problem with someone else's life, but they couldn't see the one their own. And you know what Jesus said about that? Jesus said, take care of the beam in your own before you try and get the speck out of somebody else's. We must rid our lives of that sin that is, in the book of Hebrews says, so easily besets us. Well, we've got to begin to be willing to stand together as a united force. How do we do that? Well, somebody's going to say, well, I'd have to agree with so-and-so, and I don't. No, that's not it. Where we come to is this, that we come to the point that we agree with God. Can't worry about do I agree with them. If we'll agree with God together, guess what? We will become a moving force in this world. But until we want to do it our way, we've messed up. We do it His way. Wasn't it Jesus who made this comment, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. There's power in unity when we come together as the body of Christ, following the things that God has for us. How can I begin that? Well, if you're a non-believer, you're out of the camp to start with. We've got to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You know, there's a lot of folks that say, well, I got baptized and I walked down the aisle and shook hands. I'm a member of so-and-so church. That's great. But you've not really become a part of the body until you give your heart, your life to all, confessing sin and accepting Christ as personal Savior. Somebody said, well, there's some things I'd still like to do. My friend, they sang the song a while ago that when we get saved, our life is changed. The old has passed away and become all things are new. When things become new, we are united together with God, and there is power in the unity of our spirit with His. Today, if you don't know Jesus, I invite you to come and accept Him. Today, if there's a need in your life, I invite you to come to an altar to pray. Today, whatever God would have you do, you do it. Unite in power with God. Let's stand by our hearts. The invitation will begin in just a moment. Father, so much of the time it's difficult to talk about difficult things. But yet, God, our nation is divided. Families are divided. Churches are divided. And God, we've got to come back to You. We've got to come back to You and give our whole hearts, all of us, to You, God. It may not be easy. We may have to give up some things. We may have to change some things. But today is the day that we begin. There's power as we unite ourselves with You. Speak to hearts and let us be willing to be obedient to You in Jesus' name.